Welcome to the Growing Rural Podcast, where we focus on all things rural in South Carolina. We will discuss topics on healthcare, economy, education, and the unique culture that is our rural state. This podcast is supported by the South Carolina Center for Rural and Primary Healthcare. Please join us for today's topic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Growing Rural Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kevin Bennett. Our guest today is Susan DePlessis, Director of Community Arts Development at the South Carolina Arts Commission. In 2016, the Arts Commission launched a new initiative, The Art of Community, Rural South Carolina. And we're happy to have Susan here to talk about this initiative and how arts and culture are being used to positively impact rural South Carolina. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you got into this work.
Sure. Well, I'm from upstate South Carolina, born in Spartanburg, grew up in Greenville, came to the Midlands in the year 2000 to be the director of the Fine Arts Center of Kershaw County in Camden, got my first real deep understanding of working in rural South Carolina,
right.
But grew up with a mom who loved to go to small towns on weekends, so we often were traveling around the upstate anyway to small towns and enjoying what they offered as I was growing up in the 60s and 70s in the upstate. So I always loved rural, always loved South Carolina, but until I came to this position at the South Carolina Arts Commission, didn't really realize how much I did love it and have had an incredible opportunity to work across the state in both big and small communities. And in the course of time have just become even more of an enthusiast for the work of the Arts Commission and also the people and places in South Carolina.
Right. So, you know, I'm not from here myself, but I've traveled around the state in my work as well. And a lot of these small rural South Carolina towns are very unique. They have, seem to be, I don't know, there's a certain culture, a certain something about them. What do you think that is about these small South Carolina towns?
Well, it's every place is unique. Every place has its own history, has its own sort of demonstration of place, its own interaction with the nature around it, and, you know, people and stories that have made that place special. And what we've learned in the work that we're going to talk about today with the Art of Community Rural SC is that, especially in some of our rural communities, people have forgotten what makes their places special.
That history,
that connection, you know, that thing that you hear people say, well, we don't have nothing, you know. It's just not true. And so beginning to be with people and look at communities in a new way with new eyes has been really eye-opening also for me and for the amazing people that we've had the privilege of working with. And so it's super exciting getting to discover our own state together in our small places together and begin to talk about how we change the narrative of South Carolina and of our rural communities.
Right. That's really good. We have talked a lot nationally about how do we define rural. We had an episode earlier about what is rural. And one thing we keep trying to stress is, you know, let's stop talking about rural as, you know, we don't have nothing. You know, it doesn't have this. It doesn't have that. Well, can we talk about rural and what it does have? And I think these small rural towns have a lot of that. They have this unique culture. They have this community. They have a town center. They have a shared history.
Right.
And that's important work that you're doing to try to highlight that.
Thank you.
So tell us about this initiative and what all you're doing with that. And
Sure. Well, we began an initiative called the Art of Community Rural SC about 4 years ago. The South Carolina Arts Commission, which is the host for this initiative, has been working in South Carolina in for more than 50 years. It connected with arts organizations throughout those 50 plus years. And especially in some of our smaller communities, there was an opportunity as the narrative began to shift about rural, the dominant story of loss, change, you know, weathering the storm, what questions about whether, you know, rural has validity, et cetera, became much more of a national topic around 2011. And at that time, we actually, at the Arts Commission, hosted a rural arts exchange conference. And I was really proud of that work. We brought together, we had more than, I think it was about 37 presenters. At the brand new State Farmers Market. It had just opened. And we used their facility, and we had 6-minute presentations by people from throughout South Carolina, from small communities, who talked about what they had, what was working, what some challenges were. And it really gave voice to people who often don't have voice in our state at big conferences, even at our state arts conferences. Typically it would be, you know, the Charlestons, the Greenvilles, the Columbias,
the urban clusters, right?
Yeah, and that makes some sense in a way. And at the same time, we're a whole state with lots of different parts.
Right, a lot to offer.
Yeah, so the idea of how do we begin to create something where people from small places have more voice, and understanding that our small places are just as rich as our big places.
Right.
So that's sort of how this idea began. We had a relationship with our State Department of Agriculture. And Vernita Dorr, who was the state director at that time, who now sits on our advisory council for this initiative, played an important role along with her staff in the development of this. And it was actually at a National Rural Assembly that I was attending in Washington, D.C. In 2015, just as she was rolling out, she had been there under President Obama's administration as Deputy Undersecretary for Rural Development. And so we had a conversation, and there was an opportunity to put something together. And we'd been, you know, thinking about something, but the impetus was that moment. And so I stayed up all night working on something that we could present to them that they might consider funding. And we were able to get some seed money to launch this initiative called the Art of Community Rural SC.
So why was the Department of Agriculture interested in this?
So we have been working with them and knowing them and in conversation with them, especially with Clemson University at the time, for a number of years. And so really looking at what small communities were facing, what the nature of our small communities were. And at the same time, it coincided with a national theme called creative placemaking. So that theme is all about looking at arts and culture in a new way, looking at it as a tool to advance communities, particularly in community development sectors. At the same time, so this story of this initiative is really a story of it's layered and it overlaps, and it's kind of beautiful that way. At the same time, in the spring of 2015, a part of our state, a region, a six-county region, went for a designation that President Obama had offered under his administration called Promise Zone. And so they went for that designation and attained it. And what that meant was that they could then, as a region or as individual counties, apply for federal grants and receive bonus points because they were part of a promise zone.
So they're more likely to get the funding.
They were. They became more competitive. And so at the same time, these were the same counties I was working in at the South Carolina Arts Commission. And we were always looking at, you know, new ways to work, ways to build more relationships with people in South Carolina. So this presented a unique opportunity for us to work differently and really coming into place through the doorway of community development. So rather than starting initially with arts and culture, starting with community.
Right.
Looking, because all of our communities are different. Everyone is at a different place. No one has a central understanding of, you know, exactly we're going to use, or we're going to, you know, work in arts and culture this certain way.
Right.
So just presented a way to step in and explore together and learn together.
Interesting. And, yeah. So it was a way of basically doing a deep dive on that community and their identity and their resources to get an idea of what that place is, and then using that as a launching pad to move forward for development.
Exactly. Well, one of the things that happened that was kind of beautiful was that through the Promise Zone designation, they had this opportunity to come together as a region. So we're talking about Allendale, Bamberg, Barnwell, Colleton, Hampton, and Jasper counties originally were the six counties that we stepped into with this new work, and have been, you know, working together since then. As part of the initiative there with the Promise Zone, they hosted a series of strategic planning meetings, visioning meetings, where they would come together around a particular community development sector. So it might be transportation, it might be health, education, housing, et cetera.
Right.
So day-long conversations happened over the course of about 2 months in the fall of 2015. And I am really grateful that I had a boss who allowed me to go to all of those because it allowed me to experience the same thing that everybody was experiencing as part of this new opportunity that seemed to be presenting itself to be part of this Promise Zone. We were the second rural Promise Zone in the nation. The other was Eastern Kentucky. And so in that experience, What I felt coming away from that was often like somebody had thrown a wet blanket over me, because as we sat together talking, you know, talking about where we were and what was there, and I was mostly the fly on the wall because I wasn't of the place. I was there to listen and learn. But, you know, it became really clear that we were feeling a kind of brokenness. A despair, things weren't working, and really we're kind of stuck in that place as far as how we thought about place.
Kind of like a community-wide feeling of despair and hopelessness almost.
And even regional. A lot of the story of the six counties that I mentioned, the economic story, is due to I-95 being built. And so if you happen to be close to I-95, then that was great. But if you were one of those places like Allendale, South Carolina, that whose economy had been really built around this idea that you were halfway between New York and Miami, a number of small...
The thoroughfare.
Motels, the local economy had really been built around this idea that people would stop there on their way, you know, back in the day. And so that shifted. And, you know, it's one of those unexpected consequences of development over time and, quote, progress.
The winners and losers.
So, you know, one of the other things that I think is really interesting about the development of this project is that an article was written, and it appeared in the Smithsonian Magazine. It was called Soul of the South. And actually was the precursor to the book called The Deep South by Paul Thoreau. And so he's a travel writer, had come down exploring, quote, the Deep South, and pretty much starts his story in Allendale. And so having worked with a lot of really wonderful people in the region and in Allendale, the portrayal of that as the dominant portrayal, which is, of course, was his experience and what he saw. But it was not, it didn't really set well. It didn't, they didn't feel like, and I didn't feel like it was the whole reflection of the community. And
Kind of a naive view of it, or?
It was just a, you know, what he saw. And so.
And he didn't see the full picture.
He didn't see, and maybe you can't see without knowing more people, but. So that was really interesting because it really coalesced people in the place thinking about story and what is our story. Hmm. And so
kind of as a reaction to that, they came together.
Yeah. And so we've used that. Mm-hmm. We've used that as we've moved forward. You know, Kentucky has a little bit of this. Eastern Kentucky has right. the same New York Times story that talks right. about, you know, addiction and
Appalachia
as though right. that's the only story.
Right.
And it's like, no, we're so much more than the weakest right. piece of our place. You right. know, we're so much more than that. And so that's been sort of a driving force in this initiative, is asking the question, you know, what is the story of your place? And it's as different as everyone who lives there. Everybody right. has a different story.
Different perception yeah, of what it is.
Of who they are, where they're from, what their place is. And the other question is, if you're not telling your story, mm-hmm. somebody else will tell it.
Right. And they might get it wrong.
Yeah.
That's the implication,
yeah.
right?
Right. Right.
And then, so you would say, I think hearing everything you just said, that the arts is a great way to tell that story.
Right.
And to discover what that story is and to recapture some of that mm-hmm. community history and
exactly.
perception.
Well, what happened in this series of more than 40 hours of strategic planning mm-hmm. was that any time in that room the subject turned to arts and culture, mm-hmm. you could feel like fog lifting. Mm. People brightened up. Mm. They became more spirited. You could feel pride.
More positive, yeah.
And it was really a beautiful thing that happened in every single one of those occasions. Mm. And so I was, you know, watching that and really, you know, listening and learning and thinking about, you know, how do we... At that point, we hadn't built this initiative.
Right.
So, you know, how do we use that, you know, that feeling?
Right.
And I think that is, to your point, it is the thing that people can kind of gather around and feel good about. People mm-hmm. want to feel pride about where they live. They
right,
want to,
right.
you know, celebrate what they have.
Right.
And some of that's gotten covered over.
Mm-hmm. And lost in mm-hmm. the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
So your program started in 2015, you mm-hmm. said, and mm-hmm. so what exactly do you do in these communities, and with who do you work with? And
so we built a framework to engage people differently and again, as I said, starting with community development,
mm-hmm.
and then the arts just are there. It's a layer.
Right.
We don't have to start with arts and culture.
You just have to unwrap it.
You just have to be together with people,
right.
and you get to it. And so we began with a new framework that included, of course, working originally in these six counties, which, side note, we've just expanded to include 9 more South Carolina counties.
Oh, great.
But for now, we'll talk about these 6 counties.
Right, right.
So we began by selecting 6 mavens.
Mm.
And we use the term maven as a person who's a key connector, someone who's respected in the community, someone who, you know, if they're interested in it, it will get others' attention.
Right, right.
And so through the work that we had already done in this region, we knew a lot of the people that were actually selected,
mm-hmm.
they were not, the idea was to build new relationships, so they weren't necessarily the people who were already connected with a local
right.
arts council or a local theater. These were more community-based people.
So somebody already there doing some good work
right.
that you exactly. brought in to...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what we asked them to do, so there were mavens, one for each of the 6 counties, and then we asked them to build teams.
Mm-hmm.
We asked them to build teams that looked like their communities,
mm-hmm.
so represented the demographics of those communities, and who were people who wanted to be at the table, people who love their communities, but maybe who weren't the usual suspects,
right.
the ones who always show up.
Right.
So from the Arts Commission's perspective, this was a way to really broaden our reach and our number of relationships in places. And that was also part of the conversation we had had in these strategic planning sessions. Mm-hmm. This idea about, well, it's just the same people who always show up.
Right. So let's get somebody new, right?
How do we do something different? Right. So we do something different by doing something different.
Right.
And that's what this is. It was stepping into an kind of an unknown place.
Right.
And trusting that the right people were part of the mix, that we could come together, we could begin to share what home means, what it means to belong, what we love about our places, and at the same time being mindful of the fact that we do have challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But let's build our stories off of the assets.
Right.
You know, let's talk about that incredible restaurant or that really neat barber shop where the men go and tell their stories from long ago. So that was really the sort of breaking down this sort of icy veneer of, quote, the arts.
Right.
You know, it's like, no. Let's talk about community. Let's talk about expression.
Right.
Let's talk about, you know, how we love our places.
So these mavens, I'm assuming you had six, mm-hmm. one from each community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hitting back on that idea of breaking down that icy veneer of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think of the arts as that art gallery with the wine and the cheese. But these folks are doing something very different, right?
Right.
So tell me about some of their work and what they're doing specifically, because I think it's fascinating.
Sure. So we're working with a variety of folks who are leaders in different ways in their communities. Some are associated with organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is, you know, coming from a place that is grappling with economics, with health, with education issues.
Some sort of disparity of some sort, yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, I like to tell the story of the work that's just recently happened in Estill, South Carolina, which is down in Hampton County. And originally, when we started there, actually, when we started this whole initiative, we asked our six mavens and their teams to develop a small project that would address a community challenge,
mm-hmm.
and would also use arts and culture in some way to amplify that challenge, meet that challenge, advance something about that challenge.
Right.
So very small grants,
right?
But we've built from there. So I think that's one of the elements of our story is starting really small,
right?
Starting where communities are,
mm-hmm.
starting without judgment,
right?
Not bringing a particular aesthetic to it, but allowing that community to sort of come into this work,
right? And you're letting them choose the issue, choose how they want to highlight it, choose what they want to do with it.
Exactly.
Total autonomy on that.
And we're not, you know, we're not being prescriptive.
Right.
We're not saying you need to do it this way. We're here as advisors.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to, you know, be partners with the people we're working with, and understanding that what they do advances the work we're doing, you know, from the state perspective.
Right.
And that ultimately we're building these unique stories of place.
Right.
And people.
Right.
And it's, while I'm the one here talking to you today, it's not me telling the story locally. It's them.
Right.
And then we're also documenting what's happening locally.
So what are some examples of what they did with that?
So, for instance, in Hampton County in Estill,
mm-hmm.
They began with, and our maven, Audrey, began with this idea that they have a nature trail that's about two blocks off of their main street,
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't really used. And so looking at, but it was pretty blank, mm-hmm. you know, not a lot of amenities. So the original idea was, hey, maybe we can get some picnic benches and some, you know, decorated flower pots.
Yeah. It's just some basic amenities.
Some basic things.
Right.
So in the past, you know, to the Arts Commission's credit, we really loosened our laces. We might not have funded some kind of project like that in the past,
mm-hmm.
you know, but this is really starting in a new place in working with people in community. And what happened as a result of that is a lot more emphasis on that park.
Right.
It began to happen. So they moved their town festival into that park.
Huh.
lots more people started going there. Mm-hmm. And just this past July, with that very small start a couple of years ago, and with funding that we continue to receive from USDA Rural, we're able to extend more funding into the places we're working. And they brought in an amazing artist, Marcus Tracy, from Nevada, who's doing incredible work around the country, who came in and installed these creative stations in that park. So, every 500 feet or so, there's a creative station where you can sing, where you can dance. You know, there's a place to sit and be in dialogue with someone else, so about storytelling.
Right.
And then with a little holder for your phone so you can actually record and upload that. Now, all of this is still new, but the whole town council was there.
Right.
There was a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
It was really exciting.
Yeah.
And the thing that we know through this work is that that's great that there was that end result, but the month leading up to that, the engagement that happened,
the community building,
the people who didn't know each other that suddenly were starting to get excited about something happening in their small community.
So this arts project became a focal point for the community to rally together and do something together.
Yes, and have a shared experience.
Right, which hopefully would lead to further development of some sort.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, in all of our communities in South Carolina, we're divided in multiple, you know, ways.
Right.
So building this social cohesion is really important when we talk about health and well-being. You know, what is community? Mm-hmm. What is that sense of community? So this is the beginning of that.
And I've heard other people mention that concept of a focal point in especially in a small community, to have that park or that town square or something that you can point to as this is representative of our community.
Right. Well, and something that somebody didn't do for them.
Right. That they did themselves.
They chose it. They did it. They worked with the artist. This is theirs.
Right.
It's not something I did for them. It's not something the Arts Commission did for them. You know?
Right.
They own it.
Right.
And so that, I think, is the other, one of the other things about this is like owning your story, owning your place. Yes, our places are complicated. Our history is complicated. We have to own that and be able to grapple with it, be able to sit across from each other and talk about it and understand we share the same ground.
Right.
You know, we're here together. And if we can do this together, South Carolina is better.
Right.
And how we're perceived, you know, that's going to change.
We'll start changing with
it. It will start changing. In the case of Jasper County with the Maven, Johnny Davis, who is head of Parks and Rec for that county, they began with the idea of literacy as a challenge.
Okay.
And so over the course of time, they've created programming now that's happening in their community centers, which were very much underused. They're bringing in a teaching artist who's coming in and working with the kids in those surrounding neighborhoods.
Okay.
And they're building in art experiences that are word-based.
Okay.
So it's this sort of fun and subtle way of using words.
And to increase literacy and get them more interested.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's a very friendly, fun way. It's also about engagement.
Right.
From the county administrator's point of view, we have these community centers that aren't really used. So through the arts, we are able to assist, you know, in this endeavor.
Right. Better utilize what
and
you already have.
A teaching artist is getting paid to do this. There's more social cohesion. People are knowing each other better.
And literacy improves along the way.
Exactly. Right. And so, and in these neighborhoods, you know, this sense of community again.
Right.
You know, bolstering that, building community, building connection. If we all stay inside our houses and watch TV, we don't necessarily know what's happening next door.
Right. And that's where these focal places come into play, the community center, the parks, the trails.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Creating these shared experiences that
we can
build from.
And the arts as a way to bring them out of the see what's going on.
Right. It's the conduit.
Right.
One of the things that was born out of this initiative is a program that we created in 2017 called Create Rural SC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a derivative of this that came to be because we recognized in the course of doing this more intensive work in six counties that, of course, nobody knows everybody.
Right.
And especially in our rural communities, people are, you know, divided by distance. You know, they're some of the institutions that you might have in a larger community
mm-hmm.
isn't necessarily in that small community
right.
that would maybe bring people together.
Right.
And so Create Rural SC was born of an opportunity to, again, work with USDA Rural Development in South mm-hmm. Carolina and their Rural Business Development Grant. And so we worked with about 12 young people that we called Creative Connectors.
Okay.
And we asked them to work with us over a 6 to 12 month period, helping to identify people in their communities. And each one of them represented one or more of the counties in the Promise Zone.
Right. Okay.
We asked them to identify creatives, makers, culture bearers, entrepreneurs,
right.
artists.
Anybody doing creative work of some kind.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so through their hard work, more than 200 people were identified.
Wow. Okay.
That the Arts Commission didn't know.
Right.
So this gives us a whole new...
That's a whole new pool of people to work with.
Whole new pool of people.
Right.
We came together over 6 months, every month being a different place to gather and network in a kind of Chamber of Commerce-esque
right.
way of working, like a business after hours.
Okay.
People came, they brought their artwork, they danced, they, you know, brought their spoken word.
Right.
You know, we celebrated who they were. They felt really connected.
Hmm.
And so we are continuing as we expand this initiative into more counties to identify those, quote, creative connectors who
right.
we can work with, who can, again, help us know more
yeah.
about South Carolina. Because, again, the points of pride often are from people who say, we have this amazing artist, you know,
right.
in our community. We have this amazing person doing this thing that really, you know, makes us proud. It makes us stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this is really built on. So
that's great. Yeah.
yeah.
I would assume we could go to these communities and see some of these arts out in the field, so to speak.
Right. To one degree or another.
Right.
Of course, in rural communities, you know, sometimes things aren't as apparent as,
right.
you know, you would hope they would be. It's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Our communities that have been experiencing this kind of loss and change over time, it didn't happen overnight.
Right.
And so looking at communities in new ways, through new eyes, is one of the things that we are really proponents of.
What would you tell local communities in the state that would be interested in incorporating the arts into their communities, using the arts to develop further, and those kinds of things?
Thanks for that question. We are, at the Arts Commission, always interested in learning more, working with, supporting local communities, big and small,
mm-hmm.
throughout our state, and looking at who's already there, what the assets are, who are the artists already there, who are the culture bearers, who are the people who represent ways and traditions that are part of the community or part of living traditions.
Mm-hmm.
As our co-chair, Bob Reeder, likes to say, we're setting the table.
Right.
We're setting the table. So what we're doing isn't necessarily, you know, driving all the way to that new business locating there, but we are definitely part of that
right.
story and part
right.
of that, an important key ingredient
right.
in that.
And I think this is a new and unique way to set the table that
mm-hmm.
isn't something you hear about very often. Using the arts to drive economic development is not usually what you hear about.
Right. Right. But there's so much value in doing it this
right.
way because, again, it engages the fuller community.
Right.
And it's not for somebody, it's with somebody.
Right.
And for all of us in South Carolina, these stories matter and these places and people matter. They're important. And, you know, we're just happy to be part of their stories as we move along this journey together.
And the final question that we always ask our guests on the show is how you personally would define rural based on what you've seen.
So, of course, South Carolina is mostly rural.
Right.
We have a handful of large cities and metro areas. Even in proximity to those large areas, we have small communities,
right,
rural communities, neighborhoods, mm-hmm, that are functioning as intact communities. And I know with USDA, they talk about 50,000 or less. Of course, right, that's most of South Carolina.
Right.
And even our large communities, like I said, you know, some of those are just at that. So it's most of our state. And thinking about just the proximity that we share or don't share,
right,
with these places. But knowing always that our rural places in South Carolina are real retreats in the best possible sorts of ways,
mm-hmm,
to visit and enjoy, even if you live in one of our urban centers. It's amazing, and I just encourage everybody to take a drive.
Right.
You don't have to leave your county.
Right.
There's no really one don't. County in South Carolina that's not does not have major rural places.
Yeah, somewhere so, in the county.
Absolutely. Right. So take a drive and get to know your, start with your county.
Right.
And then look around. It's right. an amazing place.
And I would say go visit one of these small towns, maybe in the Promise Zone, and see if you can find the art. Look for the art trail in Estill, for example,
mm-hmm,
and see what you can see.
Right, right, for sure.
So this conversation has been great. Susan, thanks for coming on. I want to encourage our listeners to go back a few episodes and listen to the episode with Yvette McDaniel about her experience as a choir choral director in Denmark Technical College. We will be trying to get more of the mavens and or connectors on the show in the future, thanks to your help with setting us up with them. I think their stories are powerful and important for people to hear, and would be very interesting, I think, to talk to. So thanks for your help on that.
Sure.
Well, great. So that's it for today. Stay tuned for more episodes coming out soon. All the information we talked about today we'll put in our show notes. There'll be links for the Arts Commission and the various initiatives and their informational materials, and you can track the artists and the work they're doing there through that. If you have any ideas for guests to have on our program, please reach out to us and let us know. We'd love to hear from you and talk to these folks. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Growing Rural Podcast. If you found the content valuable, please leave a rating on iTunes or Spotify so others can find us. For more information, please visit our website at sc.edu/ruralhealthcare or follow us on Twitter at sc_CRPH. This was recorded at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine in Columbia. It is edited and produced by Sean Riffle. Y'all take care.